and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. You are a spirit, but you have a soul. But the word of God will come in to bring a correction so that your soul will line up with your born-again spirit. It says, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will tell you what you've really been doing. The word of God will tell you where you really are in your walk with God. The word of God will tell you that. Did you know that? But you're not going to get that reading 2 verses a day or a little scripture off the fridge. It's not happened. You're going to have to make reading the word of God your priority. Over your movie, over hearing the news. Then it's the news. I mean, it's always been. There's always going to be bad stuff all over the world. Always has been. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you want your thoughts to change, you have got to introduce the word of God to your soul, your mind. Your mind, will, and emotions. You can't think the word if you never read the word. You won't be thinking this way. These thought processes come from being in the word of God. Since the word of God is alive, it speaks to us as we read. This is part of how God talks to you. He can talk to you in a still small voice, sure. But his primary way that was meant to be was his word. He was the word made flesh. Remember? Jesus was the word. God sent his word and healed them. Well, what was he saying? I sent my son and he healed them. He doesn't differentiate between the word and his son. He sent his word and healed them. And Jesus demonstrated that by healing people. And when you read the word, you get healed too. You get over yourself. You learn to forgive people. You have a new attitude about your day, about the privilege that you're still alive and you still have a chance to tell somebody else about him. That you're alive today so you can walk and talk with him. We're spiritually minded. Are we spiritually minded? Are we spiritually minded? If your mind is never on the things of God and you can go all day, you're not spiritually minded. If you can go all day, you don't think about God, you don't think about the word of God, you just kind of do your deal. You're not spiritually minded, you're worldly minded. Your mind is consumed with the world, taxes, your paycheck, your car, whatever. You're consumed with it. That's what God calls it, being worldly minded. You're more mindful of this world than his. When you're born again, you're born into another kingdom. It's his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so our thoughts are to change. Our thoughts are to change. It's the best thing. It's the best investment you'll ever make. You'll be happier. I'll promise you, you'll be happier. You'll be a much happier person. It will create a stability in you you have never had. Because a lot of people, they want all the hoopla. But when you go home, at some point, you're just you again. Because the word is what causes any change, any prayer for you to stick and stay. Your word is your staying power. It really is. It's the thing that gets you through the next thing, without creating, fall apart, and have to have, 35 people lay hands on you so you can, get hold of yourself. And for a long time, and y'all know I'm not against the laying on of hands, but it's not a substitute for the word is what I'm saying. There's no substitute for the word for you to actually grow, where your thoughts actually change. See, a lot of the problems you've had is because of the way you think anyway. Most every problem I've ever had, I brought on myself because of the way I was thinking. If you'd be honest, you'd say so too. My thoughts even against people who did me wrong caused me more problems. I mean, they did their thing, but then I made it worse because of what I kept thinking. See? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's like I didn't ask for that problem, but it came and I didn't deal with it right. That word or that thing they said to me or whatever. And so then it goes down. Then it can become a root of bitterness if you're not careful. But as soon as every time you think of somebody, you have terrible thoughts about them, you've got a root of bitterness in you. There's something there. It's a bitterness, a hatred. The devil's a jerk. He does mean things to everybody I've ever met. I haven't met a person yet that something really awful hasn't happened to them. That was just downright grimy. Or been mistreated or been misunderstood. Do you know that is the life of Christ? I don't think people understand what they're signing up for. I don't. And the life that I now live is Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Well, what kind of life did he live? He was rejected by most everybody. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Why? Because he was truth. And the truth, you know, is what gets you free. So if there's nobody telling you the truth because they're so afraid you're going to get upset, then you never hear the truth. Yeah, but we need better offerings. We need people to come. You preach like that, nobody's going to come. I don't know. Talk to Jesus about it. They ended up killing him. They had to what he had to say so much. Did you know he wasn't the only one? There have been many martyrs since then because they didn't like what he had to say and he just wouldn't stop saying it. He said, well, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. Everything he did was by the hand of God to do it. And that's what you have to know. Are you saying and doing by the hand of God? Because if you are, there are people that are not going to want to hear what you have to say. Because they want that middle of the road where I can be a sweet little Christian. Oh, well, we're going to walk in love. Never mind if you tell them the truth. It isn't love not to tell somebody the truth when you know they're on their way to hell. That is not love. Don't tell me that's love. That is not love. But love suffers long. When they're mad at you for it, then you have to say, I'll tell you what love is. I'm going to love you anyway. Even though you're so offended at me and you're talking behind my back, whatever it is, or to your front. Some people, they'll say it to your front. That's okay. Front, back, either way, I'm here. Y'all understand? This was the life of Jesus. Did you understand what you signed up for? See, as long as everything's easy, people are fine. It gets easier. The more single-minded you get, the easier it will be. If you make up your mind, this one thing I do. I'm going to love God. I'm going to be in his word. And I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Because I will stand before him. If I say I love him, but I don't care what he thinks, I don't love him. If we don't care how God feels, we don't love God. We have fooled ourselves. This is one of those sermons, how to win friends and influence people or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get that. But I hear him say these things. So I say them to you. Not so you'll feel like, oh, wow, that was heavy today. That's not my point. My point is that you choose him and you're free. You're free to be the real you he called you to be. This is what everybody really wants. They say, well, I just want to be able to be me and not be so intimidated by everybody or what they're going to say. Or what my income's going to be, or any of those things. You don't think God could take care of you? If we don't think God can take care of us, you don't know God. You don't know him. The good news is we can. We can. We can know him. We can know him. And you may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. You can know the kind of love he walked in. You can have a love where no matter where you are, you're holding the power in the room. Because if you can't intimidate somebody, if you can't manipulate them to shut up, they're powerful. But when you give into that, you're weak. Well, we can hear a pin drop in here, Lord. The Bible is a spiritual book. When you read the Bible, it will speak to you in ways no other book will, is all I can tell you. And I tell you from experience, there's something to lift off at the page at you. And I don't care if you've read it year after year. Every time I read it, something lifts off the page. I go, man. Wow, 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 wow. Why? Because you're getting revelation after revelation after revelation. Yeah, you read it last year, sure. But you didn't had the revelation. But this time you read it, and it comes alive, and it's like, oh, my word, that is rich. And it goes down into you. This is how you're changed. This is how you change, is that the word comes in, and your old thought process just left because you've had a revelation of something you didn't see before. There are things when I've read my Bible, I've underlined and marked. And 2 years later, when I read it again, I finally get what I just thought was so cool the first time. You thought it was cool, but you didn't have a revelation of it. There's a difference. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? The reason why so many people died and bled so we could have the Word of God is because it's alive. This book is just as alive as anything I've ever seen. But only in the spirit realm for you. This book is just a book to people who aren't saved. And for a lot of people, if you don't have the baptism, you won't understand it. They don't understand it. You can hear when they're preaching, they don't know what they're talking about. They have an experience like what I'm talking to y'all about today. They will go, a lot of churches do, so go over their head. They never even hear such things. People were told that all passed away, a lie from hell. Or that you can't be healed, lie from hell. God is eager to reveal himself to you. Did you know that? He's so eager. He loves you. He is so eager to reveal who he is to you. And he said, but I've given you a means whereby you can access me. So you can see what I'm like. And what you'll see over and over is God over and over blessing people and then them leaving him. He would bless them, give them all territory, land, whatever. And before you know it, they've gotten into idolatry. They're sacrificing their children to the gods of the land. And they just walk away from God like he'd never done one thing for them. And I see him going through that over and over and over in the scriptures, where he would bless them hand over fist. And they would, after a certain period of time, they forgot what it was like to be hungry. Generations later, there's certain things that do need to be passed to the next generation. And they don't, because they don't know. They don't know. But somebody's got to live it. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to think it, breathe it. Will you be perfect? No. But they know that. But they know you're sincere and you're legit and you're able to say, I'm sorry. You're not so proud that you won't say, I'm sorry. You're not always going to be right. Nobody is. Every single time. You can have a bad day or just sleep deprivation. It can be all kinds of things. So we have to be good at forgiving. You've got to be real good at forgiving other people, and you've got to be even better at forgiving yourself. Jesus said in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. I think sometimes we forget that. If you want to know what God is like, you look at the ministry of Jesus, because he only did the ministry he did by what God was saying or showing him to do. He said, of mine own, I can do nothing. Now, this was Jesus. Of myself, I can do nothing. He said, I can do nothing. You're the same way. You may be born again, but you can do nothing of yourself. He said, it's the Father. And he always gave credit to the Father because the Father showed him what to do. Because Jesus, even though his spirit was God, his mind, his soul was human. His body was human. If you hit him, it hurt. If you spit in his face, he felt it. If you insulted him, he understood what that was. John 17:14 says Jesus, he was speaking about his disciples to the Father, and he said, I've given them your word, he told God, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The more of the world you are, the more you value the ideologies of the world, the harder time you're going to have, because you have elevated that. That became your God. You know, God said, thou shalt have no gods before me. Do we have gods that are before God? The opinions of friends, people. Does it really get to you? Does it really get to you? How bad did you need all those people? How bad do you need them? What are they providing for you right now? What have those people been doing that you owe them so much allegiance that you would devalue God in order to value them and their opinion? Is the need to fit in so strong? I think we all have a need to fit in. I need to fit in with God. I made a determination. I got to fit in with God. He's my life. He's the air I breathe. I can't imagine. Well, I can, but my mind doesn't even want to go there. They're not of the world. And Jesus said, I am not of the world. The more of the world we are, of what the world tells you you're supposed to be, look like, act like, what's cool, what's not. Do you know those things didn't bother Jesus at all? He was so not interested in that. And the older I get, the less interested I am. I just really don't care. I don't know what the fashion is. I don't know. I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm covered. Because that is such a waste of time to me at this point. Like, just to try to figure all that out and then change it next year or 3 years from now. It's like that. I have better things to do with my time, because I am not enamored with this world system. Are you enamored with the world system? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I can tell you right now, that's always the will of God. If you're unthankful, you're out of the will of God. We're going to worship the Lord for a little bit here. This is what God did. I think I've preached enough for us to get ourselves happy in worship, don't you think? Have you made your mind up? I'm going to serve God. I am not going to be so full of myself that every time somebody says something, it becomes all about me and how I think what they meant by what they said. You don't know what they meant. Why don't you just go with what they said? Why do you have to read into it? This causes a lot of problems with people all the time. I see this. Well, they might have just been their mind on something else. It might not have had anything to do. Why is everything just about us anyway? How we look, our hair, whatever. Do you ever get aggravated with yourself that you wouldn't even be worried about such a thing? And so I said, I'm not going to be that person. I will not be that person. I mean, there's some things you have to want more than what the world keeps telling you you're supposed to be. How does the world know? How do people on their way to hell, apart from God, know what you're supposed to be and do? Yeah, stand up. Bonnie, we're going to worship. I caught Bonnie. She's going, I'm going to be in trouble for this one for sure. We're going to worship the Lord this morning. And if you want prayer for anything, we're going to pray. People can pray. You feel led to go to somebody else and pray. Say, well, I really felt I was supposed to pray for them, but I didn't. Stevie, you got your word this morning? Come get it, brother. And then we're going to worship the Lord. Go over here. Please.
How long will you waver between two opinions? Choose this day whom you will serve. Do not be deceived into thinking that you don't serve. You are not your own master. You have a choice who you serve, but you do serve. Surrender yourself to the Lord and serve Him only.
Praise God. Thank you, God. It's called a sign and wonder. There are more signs and wonders supposed to be in this church. That's all I can tell you. Signs, wonders, miracles, deliverance, healing, people with long-standing issues getting free. Are you ready to get free of you? Your biggest issue is always you. You know that, right? Yeah, God wants you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's like I gave him a place where now he can move and go in the earth. Do you understand? When Adam and Eve lost that dominion, Satan took it. God will move through a person. God moves through people. God doesn't just arbitrarily decide things. He gave the authority to us. We have been redeemed, and we have been restored to the authority he gave Adam and Eve originally. Y'all understand that? Through Jesus Christ. But you'll never catch that until your mind is renewed. Because your spirit is born again. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you bodily. The Bible says you have the spirit. Once you're born again, you have the spirit of God. Do you know what you have, and do you know what you're supposed to be doing? Yeah, that's where the word of God comes in. And we need that. Thank you, Father, so much for your presence with us today. I love how you do what you do. God, our heart is I surrender all. I just surrender. Do you know even how to surrender? When you surrender, you're saying, God, I give up trying to be me. I give up trying to push my own agenda. I give up trying to figure everything out. I'm going to learn who you are, and I'm going to allow you to interrupt my thoughts. I'm going to allow you to enter into my mind, so that my mind begins to do what my spirit keeps wanting to do all along. Amen. I love y'all. All right, Bonnie.